This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. El Nino. It is the year of El Nino, not since 2015. The expectation, El Nino will have a dry and hot summer for Australia, for the southern hemisphere. However, I welcome Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. These last weeks, Jeremy's been reporting, rather than dry and hot, he's been having wet and hot, very wet, and we thought, surely this will settle down. Turns out, according to The Guardian, it's not just the total rainfall. Why is Eastern Australia experiencing such sudden, devastating downpours? Jeremy, a very good evening to you. You are experiencing rain that was not predicted. Do they have an explanation how this is an El Nino year? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. Yes, finally they do. After almost 2 months of mystery, I guess you could say, about where did our El Nino go? Why haven't we got the drier, catastrophic conditions we were expecting over Christmas? We actually have some kind of an answer now. And it is coming from our Bureau of Meteorology and climate scientists around the world. And it appears what the actual cause is the fact that, yes, there is still an El Nino hiding beneath the surface of all this rain and all this weather that's just total El Nino, not like systems. It is still there, but we have also got a very, very strong Indian Ocean dipole. In fact, it's a positive Indian Ocean dipole, which completely changed the temperature of the water around Australia, so the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, in such a way that it's actually created a weather system that's put more water into the atmosphere, which meant that as El Nino, which is characterized by its very dry, very hot and windy conditions, all that heat has mixed in with this Indian Ocean dipole and actually created a system where it's basically drawing water out of the ocean into the atmosphere and creating torrential rain instead of creating drought conditions. But on top of all of that, a third condition came in too, which was a little bit unexpected over this period, where in the Antarctic area, we actually got an Antarctic blast, where it was very, very cold weather coming up from Antarctica, which was largely unexpected for December this year. And that has blown more cold air, into the El Nino-like conditions, into the Indian Ocean dipole conditions, creating this really unstable air mass that's causing all these storms and basically rainfall activity on the eastern coastline. But the interesting part is that El Nino itself, the effects are occurring on the western side of Australia. So we're talking West Australia up in the Kimberley, which is the top left corner of the Australian map. So that's staying very dry and continuing to create this heat that generates the warm conditions that then create the tropical rainfall across the east coast here. So it's almost like a perpetuating weather system, which is an El Nino, an Indian Ocean dipole, and an Antarctic blast all wrapped up into one. And because it's been so long since we've had, I guess, the triumvirate of these weather systems, this is what it looks like. We didn't expect to see it like this. And honestly, I mean, the Bureau of Meteorology do a fantastic job trying to predict weather from week to week, month to month, and they have the supercomputers to do it, but nothing really predicted what we're seeing now. But the great thing is, John, we finally have an answer. We finally know why we aren't seeing bushfires. Instead, we're actually seeing floods here in Australia.
Two springs ago, there was a great deal of rain. Bucketing is when I first understood bucketing rain. But that was in Queensland. That was Brisbane. You're getting flooding in New South Wales. Is that correct?
That's correct, and you're absolutely correct. Normally in the springtime and early summer, Queensland is where you get the tropical weather. So Queensland being much higher up in Australia, it's near Indonesia, near Malaysia. So it's a very, very tropical environment, which typically gets bucketing downfalls of rain. But no, this year we've actually got a lot further south as well. So we've been getting Brisbane-like conditions here, not only in Sydney, but down in Victoria too. And one thing that has been startlingly different to, I guess, a lot of the rain that we've had in previous years is the humidity. We do get a bit of humidity here in Sydney, you know, on any given year, that's true. But it feels much more like Brisbane here in Sydney pretty much all of December and now the beginning of January than it ever has. It's very, very humid. And I've spoken to friends down in Melbourne, down in Victoria, so the bottom right corner of Australia, and they say the humidity is actually fairly noticeable down there too. So it's this really humid sort of weather system that's also being felt across the eastern seaboard that makes it so strange. So you could almost say that the conditions you get in Brisbane in the spring and in the summer have almost spread right down to Victoria. And it's just like living in Brisbane, I guess you could say, all up and down the East Coast, which is very, very unsummer for us.
The Bloomberg published a map of the globe recently, and I was struck by the patches that were said to be getting higher than expected rain compared to 2019. And you're one of them. You're one of the bluest patches on the planet, whereas the rest of you are a continent. The rest of your continent was quite dry. Some of it was unusually dry compared to 2019. What was striking to me, because we experienced a lot of rain in the summer and summertime and then into our fall, is that we're also here in New England a blue patch, not as blue as you are. You're getting much more rain, but the rest of the continental United States is just like 2019, not too hot, not too cold, not too wet, not too dry. There's a very dry patch in Central America where there's a drought in Panama, and then there's dry Colombia border, Ecuador border with the Amazon. Down below, Paraguay and Uruguay and Argentina and Chile, they're getting a lot of rain. So what you're describing with the atmosphere doesn't, as you said once upon a time, there's only so much water in the atmosphere. The question is, where is it going? It's going to you, Jeremy. It's got your name on it. That's what you're seeing. El Nino, for whatever reason, and I don't have a full explanation, has decided to center it upon where the people are, which is Southeast Australia, right? That's your population.
And that's exactly right. It's falling almost directly over all our populated areas in Southeast Australia. And the interesting thing is, as you track across the continent here as well, so look at South Australia, which is the very centre of Australia and the southern border there, we're also getting rain there. But again, it's on the populated areas. Then as you move into the desert regions, the rain dissipates and you start to see the proper El Nino conditions. So ironically, well, I guess not ironically, luckily in many ways, the downfall is actually going to areas that do need it, for the farming, the agriculture, and actually to sustain our economy. The only problem is, John, as you mentioned, it feels like we have a target on our back because we're getting so much of it now. We're actually getting flooding, and that's the problem. We're getting flooding in areas that we normally would be getting bushfires right now. So we've had to almost have a paradigm shift in how we think about our summer right now. We've gone from preparing for those big catastrophic bushfires, you know, getting the leaves out of our gutters, making sure our fire pumps are working, our escape plans are ready to go, or how we're going to bush to fight the bushfires are ready to go as well, and actually figuring out how we're going to fight flooding, how we're going to sandbag, how we're going to escape flood routes if we need it. So it's been interesting, but honestly, it does feel like we've got a target on our back for the rainfall.
Now, here's a common sense interpretation of weather in Australia. Do not park under a big old native gum tree in a windstorm. I'm reading an article where holidaymakers are parking beneath trees, and there's a photograph of a crushed car. And I guess that's a caravan next to it. So do you camp in the eucalyptus forest, Jeremy? Can you tell what tree's going to fall on you and what not, or you just stay away from all of them?
Honestly, John, I now stay away from all of it. In the very few times that I go camping, if I do now, I only camp in clearings. And truth be told, the way that the campsites in Australia are set up, they are kept well away from the big eucalyptus trees because they are well known that when they come under stress, if it's been a very heavy drought year followed by a lot of rain where the tree hasn't been able to grow its roots like it should, and then the rain comes in and softens up the soil, what actually happens is that draws up so much water quickly, it firstly destabilizes its base, so the whole tree could come down, but also as it draws up the water into the trunk, it actually only feeds the main part of the trunk, which means the actual branches themselves start to decay, start to basically die off, even though it's getting water, and that's the things that break and come off. So when you go camping in Australia, I guess this is the tip for everybody, make sure you do not actually camp under a eucalypt, because as well as and strong as they look, they are very, very weak. And especially if you're getting very wild weather like we're seeing now, those things will come down. And I've seen them when they've come down, and they come down very quickly, and there's no way to get out of the way of them. So unfortunately, it's another Aussie thing you've got to watch out for. Honestly, our trees are trying to kill us as well, John. I think is what I'm trying to say.
We need to update the proverb. Everything in Australia is exotic and will try to kill you, including the trees. Yes, of course. We're going to the reptiles next, so if you're frightened of snakes, this should alarm you. There's no safe place in Australia right now. A lot of rain means the snakes come out, and they have some of the most venomous snakes in the solar system. Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales. It's not raining now. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more, and sign up terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.